With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to this week's Five Times podcast from here in Ellie's in Grigsby. Check out our previous podcasts, Jamie Carragher, Ricky Lambert, John Arnorice are our guests from previous weeks. Lambert, of course, rediscovered that goal-scoring touch he has. He bagged a brace last weekend. Also, have a look at the Five Times website to see plenty of events coming up. Former players up and down the country. Sure to be a great night if you do get to one of those. Right, this week, a Liverpool legend involved. Over so many years at Liverpool, winning four league championships, three European Cups, double Footballer of the Year, and all for the price of $175,000 from Newcastle. Terry McDermott joins us. Also, joined by David Thompson, someone who was signed in his career by disgraced outgoing England manager, Sam Allardyce, and also a former Red, of course, Tomo. And a man who needs no introduction at all. He made all the headlines with his guest at the start of the week as he was joined in the Monday Night Football studio by Jurgen Klopp, of course, Jamie Carragher. We also speak to Swansea legend Lee Trundle, who tells us what to expect as we visit Swansea this weekend in the Saturday lunchtime kickoff in the Premier League.
October 6th, Cardiff, Fowler, Haman, McAteer. October 7th, Fowler, Haman, McAteer. York, October 13th, Rush and Fowler. And brand new, the story of the treble season. With McAllister, Smyser and Fowler, it's in London on December 8th.
What a great way then for us to start the Five Times podcast. I'm delighted to say joining us is Terry McDermott. Let's have a little look back at Saturday. Another convincing home win, this time against Hull. How good a display was that?
Yeah, it was excellent, you know, but it doesn't half help when you get a penalty and the man gets sent off. It doesn't make a difference when you're 2-0 up and then he's been sent off, so that makes it a lot easier. But the football we've been playing, over, certainly against Leicester, I was very, very impressed at Leicester game. And it looked like it was going to be exactly the same. I don't think that would have made a great bit of difference, you know. Yes, win 2-0, they're still down to 11 men. But the way we were playing, we could have actually had 10 on Saturday, you know. So we would have probably won the game anyway by 3 or 4. So, you know, we got 5, man sent off, which always helps. But, no, great performance. And I think this year, I'm a bit more excited this year than what certainly I've been for the last 2 years.
I think with the Burnley result a little bit earlier on in the season, there was a little bit of concern going into the game. Would we be able to break down Hull? And in the end, it was a convincing afternoon. But perhaps did we answer a few questions with that performance, do you think?
Well, I didn't see that game, but, you know, allegedly they had, what, 78% of play or something like that. Should have won the game, got beat 2-0. But that's always the case, you know. We're playing really well against the likes of Chelsea and the Spurs and the Arsenals, playing really well against them. But when you're coming to the smaller teams, and Leicester, of course, you can include in that as well, but when you come with a lesser team, like the Hull, and that's no disrespect to them, or Stoke, or teams like that, that's when we tend to struggle, you know. So, but I'm more confident this year than I was last year that they'll go to these places like they did at Burton and go and pummel them, really. So, you know, I think they can do that against the lesser lights in the Premier League, you know. And obviously the bigger games are the Derby games and the Man United, Man City, they're the hard games, we know that. But all we've played this season for them three top teams, we've played really well against them, you know. So, yeah, exciting, Paul. Very excited this season.
You mentioned that excitement. Expectation obviously going to spiral. Liverpool second favourites for the title, just behind Man City. Jurgen always seems to say the right things. He said, I've never seen a 20k race where somebody's celebrating after 5k. But the start we've made has got us all thinking what might be possible this season.
Yeah, I mean, he there's one thing about he says it as how it is. And he's right, he's spot on, you know. I think we're all excited because we've seen the way we've played this season now, you know, and we're improving. We've improved from last year and the year before, and we're getting better. And the players are getting stronger. They're getting better players. You know, they're like Origi. Lallana's come into his own now. He's a better player than he has been since he's been here. He's probably playing his best football. Jordan Henderson, you know, he's ruling the roost in the midfield there. So we've got all young kids coming through as well. You know, and Mane, well, you know, he's going to be a big, big player for us this year, you know. He's going to score a lot of goals.
Wouldn't fancy a race with him, would you?
I wouldn't fancy a room. No. I tell you what, I beat him to the bar, though.
Well, he's one of those players contributing with goals. We've scored 71 since Jurgen Klopp arrived just less than a year ago. That's more than any other Premier League club. Was that an important area for you that Liverpool needed to address, scoring goals?
That was my only concern. Our midfield players weren't getting enough goals. You know, like Lallana, you know, Jordan Henderson, Coutinho, you know, great players. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Coutinho, I think he's a hell of a player. When he plays well, I think we play well. But he weren't scoring enough goals, scoring spectacular goals and outside the box, bending him in the right top right corner, which he's magnificent at. But sometimes you want tap-ins, you know, as a midfield player, where he plays, get tap-ins. You know, I used to score a lot of goals out of the box, but he also scored a lot of goals in the box as well. And you've got to do that from midfield. And if we can get two or three of them, one of them holding and the other two getting forward and getting goals, it does not make a difference. Take the pressure off your strikers then, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, I agree. Just as we go back a couple of positions to the goalkeeper position, we've seen Karius, a new number one at Liverpool, given the nod for that shirt. What did you make of that decision?
Yeah, but he doesn't do anything wrong, the manager, does he, you know? And it's a good feeling, you know. He just wanted to go with him and he's done well. But to be fair to Mignolet, he's improved over the last 2 years, since I've been watching him. His kicking was atrocious, to be honest with you, and that's not being disrespectful to him. It was really poor. But I think he is better with his feet now, definitely, without a doubt. And he's a great shot stopper. I mean, he's saved Liverpool a few times in the back end of last season, a few games this season, you know. So they've got two very good goalkeepers, you know, and it's difficult to pick one out there, you know. So he's got the shirts at the minute now, but I wouldn't be surprised if Mignolet played plenty of games there. It was a bit like in our day with the England situation with Ray Clements and Peter Shilton, you know, they used to share playing. So whether he probably does that, I don't know. But certainly that's what happened. You know, one week, one game it'd be, and Peter Shilton, next game it'd be Ray Clements. So maybe he's got that in mind, you know, play him for a few games and then give the other fella a go. It's, you know, it's who plays well, isn't it? You know, and even when they play well, I don't think Mignolet done anything wrong and he was left out. But, you know, that's why you're the manager. You make the big decisions, and that was a big decision.
Yeah, tough call.
Yeah, it was.
Whilst we have been scoring plenty, looking excited, looking entertaining going forward. Defensively, still no clean sheet in the Premier League, conceding another goal against Hull at the weekend from a set piece. Mm. When does that start becoming a concern?
Well, it's a concern all the time, every game. You know, we went to Arsenal and played superbly well the second half, but we conceded two, and that was a disappointment from the weekend. Was brilliant. If it had been 5-0, it'd have been even better. I know people probably say, well, it doesn't matter, it's 4-0 or 4-1 or 5-1, does it? But it does, you know, because it breeds confidence for the players playing at centre, playing at the back. And the way we're playing now with our true fullback getting forward like we are, it's so important for your true centre-backs to be good players, you know, and do well. But they're not. You know, they're conceding. So if they stop conceding, we win a lot more games. So that's the worry. But they've done fabulously well up till now. Yes, conceded too many goals in my eyes. But I've got to say, mention that, James Milner, what a player. He's been absolutely magnificent. So go and put him at left back. And I had him when we were at Newcastle. He's, you know, he's exactly the same he was then as a young kid from what he is now. He gives you everything he gets. And he's playing left back, ask him to go from a right-sided midfield player or a centre midfield player, ask him to go left back. It's uncanny, really, but It doesn't matter to him. He can play anywhere. He could go in goal probably now, you know. So, but he's been a fantastic signer for Liverpool, and I'm delighted for him simply because he's a lovely kid as well. He's a smashing kid. No airs and graces about him. Not like us yobbos who go drinking all the time. They were, you know, he's a proper professional, you know, and he deserves everything he gets.
When you worked with him there at Newcastle, could you see that he was that intelligent player? He was clever. He could play in different positions, albeit left back.
Yeah, he could play anywhere because what you're going to get from him every single game, 7 and 8, 8, maybe even 9 sometimes, but 7 and 8 all the time. You know what you're getting from him. You'd very rare watch him have a bad game. And what I loved about him, after every training session, he'd be the last one off the training field. And I used to stand watching him and helping him a little bit. Not that I want any credit for it, really, but he used to do free kicks. And he was unbelievable, you know, and he got the mannequins in the way. So, you know, but he'd be there for another half an hour. Everyone else would be on the way home or having some lunch. He'd be still on the pitch. You can sometimes look out the window and he'd be by himself doing it. So he deserves everything he gets out of football because of his attitude alone.
You're saying there about him having a great attitude. What sort of age would James have been back then at Newcastle?
Yeah, he came from Leeds, didn't he? We bought him, I think it was about £4 million or something like that for Leeds. And he was only about 20 then, 22 or something like that. It wasn't even that. It might not have even been that. But when he come into the club, you know, we'd heard all about him, what a player he was. You know, but when he first came to the club, I didn't, you know, I had a bit reservations about him, but he quickly grew on me. And he was a big fish at Leeds, but when he came to Newcastle, he was at a big club, and he got swamped a little bit early on, but after that he was just a great player. And we were actually at the club when we sold him, myself and Kevin Keegan, we actually sold him for £15 million. And the story goes, and I'm telling you, this is a true story, we didn't want him to leave, but we needed to get other players in because we did have a bid of £15 million. So he said, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. If Kevin said, I'll tell you what we'll do, if we sell it, we sell him for £15 million, are we going to replace him? He said, we've already got one. He went, oh, like who? And he said, Weinsteiger, Man United, no, he's not Man United now, but then he was, well, 7 years ago, he was a superstar, and he said we could get him. So the idea of getting rid of Milner, not getting rid of him, but accepting the bid of £15 million, which was a lot of money then. You know, then we didn't, obviously, then we're going to go, we're looking to get Schweinsteiger. It's a no-brainer. But after we'd signed for them, the day after, we're trying to sign Steinfeier again, and the answer was absolutely no chance. It'd be cost you £50 million if you wanted to buy Schweinsteiger. So we didn't have no one to replace him. But he was irreplaceable because he could play everywhere.
Mm. Well, I only asked you about his age back then was because on Saturday against Hull, he was Liverpool's oldest player out there at 30, and Clavin also was 30, but there's no one else. Do you still think there's a place for a little bit of experience out there?
I do, Neil, yeah. I think, you know, it's a long season, and we've had a great start, but you can always have a little bit of experience in there, no matter what, you know, whether it is. I would love Steven Gerrard to be in there, or a Jamie Carragher at the back, one of them two being there to organise and explain to them what it means to Liverpoolians. So, you know, it would have been lovely to have someone of that ilk, but you know, it's difficult getting them, you know, and certainly players be playing every week, they want to play every week, and if you're not playing every week, you know, some people don't like that, so that's why it might be difficult to attract people.
I think there'll be a few certainly fans out there who agree with that comment. Finally then, Terry, let's finish with Swansea away this weekend. What are you thinking going into this one for Liverpool?
Yeah, well, hey, there's no doubt about it. You've got to look for an away win, and the way they're playing, you've got to be confident. But you know as well as I know, you know, you're playing in the Premier League, they can turn it on one day. But one day, you know, every now and then they put on a great display and go and win. They won at the weekend. They're decent, but I can't believe that we won't beat them, you know, because of the way we're playing. Scoring, hopefully not conceding. If we don't concede, we win the game, because we're sure to score. So that's the key. Don't concede, and I think we win the game. But it won't be out about that, because they like playing football as well.
Away win then for Terry Mack. Brilliant. Thank you for joining us on the Five Times podcast.
Ah, Neil, no problem, mate.
October 6th, Cardiff, Fowler, Haman, McAteer. October 7th, Fowler, Haman, McAteer. York, October 13th, Rush and Fowler. And brand new, the story of the treble season. With McAllister, Smicer and Fowler, it's in London on December 8th.
Delighted to say Jamie Carrick has joined us again for the Five Times podcast. Forget all the analysis, which you do, which is great on the Monday Night Football, but it was the most talked about Monday Night Football in years. The Liverpool Echo tweeting updates like it was a live game. Such was the interest in it. Come on, tell us, how cool was and calm was Jürgen?
No, he was brilliant, as you say. I mean, everyone, especially when I got back after the day after, everyone was talking about it. So it seems like it went down well. I haven't watched it back. But no, listen, I think I think we knew that before we got him on. He's box office, isn't he? He's done the job before, I think, in Germany. And he's just got that type of character, hasn't he? Whatever he does, whatever he put his hand to, I think people will instantly take a liking to him because of, you know, the charisma the man has. And he obviously knows what he's talking about. I think that come across, obviously, because he's one of the top managers out there. And delighted Liverpool have got him. But as I said, delighted he came on the show. We've been asking him for about 12 months. Finally got it done, and as I said, it went down a storm.
How much did you enjoy doing that show with him then?
No, it was brilliant for me. I mean, I don't know Jürgen Klopp that well, to be honest. I mean, I've met him a couple of times, had a 5 or 10 minute chat with him to try and get him on the show. It's not, as I said, I don't see him at Anfield or I don't go to Melwood anymore, obviously. So it's I wouldn't say I've got a massive relationship with him. But no, it was, if you're thinking of trying to get guests on, I think he's certainly the number one out there to try and get on. And as I said, fortunately enough, we've done it. He's got me some brownie points with Sky. I would imagine, but no, I think he, as I said when he first come, he's a manager not just for Liverpool but for the Premier League, really, because he's that big of a character. I think everyone sort of respects him and enjoys watching him. So I think it wasn't just Liverpool fans watching Monday. I think there was a lot of fans around the country who'd been in the thinking the same as Liverpool supporters.
I think you got it spot on there with the, he's just blockbuster stuff, isn't he? You know, everyone's desperate to hear what he has to say. And for you, you know, you spoke to a lot of ex-players, ex-managers. What fascinated you the most listening to him?
No, I mean, just his enthusiasm. I mean, I'm not saying Jürgen Klopp says anything massively different to me when you speak to other people. I think it's more the way he says it and the fact of the type of character he is. I think people buy into it, you know, the players especially. Obviously, what he's asking them to do. I mean, everyone speaks about pressing at Jürgen Klopp, but I'm sure every manager wants the team to do that, but it's getting your players to do it. You know, that's the big thing with Jürgen Klopp. I think players seem to buy into exactly what he wants to do, and so that'll make that continue.
I think one of the big things for me, and as you mentioned there, other fans actually love him. It's quite a rare thing in football because people are very passionate about their own football club, yet Jürgen Klopp's brought that passion, that real honesty about him, and there's fans up and down the country, even rivals to Liverpool, that really like our manager, whereas it's quite a rare thing in the modern day game, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean the amount of Everton fans or even Man United fans have said to me, I hate the fact I don't hate him. The amount of times I've heard that. And we normally listen, take a dislike to opposition managers and things they say, we jump on it. But I think Klopp's the type of character that it's very difficult to do that. I'm sure it'll come. It'll come over time for the Evertonians and Man United fans. But thankfully, this moment, he's seen some Jürgen Klopp's on side with them. But as I said, I don't think it'll bother Jürgen Klopp how he's thought of by other fans, as long as Liverpool fans continue to adore him.
Watching it, I was thinking, I'd love to have seen you play for him. I think you'd have been great together. How much would you have enjoyed working for someone like Jürgen Klopp, do you think?
Oh, I'd love to have worked with him. He's a top manager, number one. I'm sure the players are learning so much. I class myself as fortunate to work under Rafa Benitez and Gerard Houllier for so long. You know, at the time, you know, top of the range managers at that time. But obviously, there's no doubt Jürgen Klopp now is one of the top managers around. And I think the way the game's played now, he's actually perfect for the way the modern game seems to be going, but also for Liverpool Football Club.
There's a great picture of you looking longingly into his eyes. He was at the Robbie Williams concert on Tuesday night. Did he give you an invite?
Did he give me any feedback on the Robbie Williams concert?
No, did he give you an invite? Because you were looking longingly into his eyes on the picture I've seen on Twitter.
I'm just trying to make him feel welcome, and when he was speaking, just smile on him to make him feel, you know, that's just the way you do. You know that now, being the host of this new show, Mally, you've got to try and make people feel welcome. You learn all that, you know what I mean, lad?
But I mean, as a viewer, really enjoyed it, seeing obviously Jürgen Klopp on there, one of the big names of the Premier League at the moment. Is that something likely we're to see more managers going on the Monday Night Football?
Well, listen, we've had a few on. We had Ronald Koeman, now the Everton manager, came on last season. We had Brendan come on last season. We had Roberto Martinez. So we've had a few on before. I mean, there's no doubt Jürgen Klopp's been maybe the biggest name and the best performer. There's no doubt about that. But hopefully you can get other people of that quality and calibre. But, you know, it is very difficult because, you know, it's difficult to get sorts of people in the game on TV shows. But I think Jürgen Klopp's such a natural for the TV. And I think if he ever stops managing Liverpool, I think I might have a problem with Sky, because I think Sky would be desperate to get him. So hopefully he stays at Liverpool for as long as he can.
Swansea this weekend, is that your game? Are you going to that one?
No, I'm not there. I'll watch it on the TV. I'm doing the Friday game with Everton Crystal Palace. And then on Sunday, I think it's Man City Spurs and Burnley Arsenal. So they're my games. But no, I'll be watching. And just hopefully, I think it's not just now, but even when I was playing before an international break, it's vital to get something. I think 3 points is what everyone wants. It'll be a nightmare if we don't, you know, pick any points up. But you certainly don't want to go into the international break on the back of a defeat. So I think it's a game we should be looking to get 3 points from. And that would make it a brilliant start to the season.
Yeah, after such an impressive and convincing win against Hull last weekend, obviously Swansea, a little bit of pressure maybe with the manager and that. Tough place to go this weekend, you think?
Yeah, well, listen, I always think every away game in the Premier League is a tough place to go. I think, you know, if you get 3 points on the road, it's a great victory, no matter who you come up against. But it can work in both ways. And, you know, their players will be fighting 100% for the manager. If the reports say maybe some of the players are not too happy with him, or, you know, is it maybe a lack of confidence now, or is the manager going to, you know, get a performance out of them? Listen to me, I don't worry about Swansea, just worry about Liverpool. And if we continue to perform the way we are, we will win the game.
Brilliant. Cara, top man. Enjoy your weekend.
Okay. Cheers, lad. Thanks
Cheers,
a lot.
Cara.
Ciao, mate. Ciao, lad.
Okay, it's been a week dominated away from Liverpool by Big Sam, sacked in disgrace by England. Let's get the view of a man who was signed by Sam Allardyce at Bolton, former Liverpool midfielder David Thompson. Tomo.
How you doing, Mel?
You okay? I was looking forward to seeing how Big Sam did. What's he doing there, though?
Do you know what? I sent an Instagram message out in support when I first read, you know, what had been printed. And I actually didn't think it was that bad. I thought, okay, maybe he's advising people on not how to break the rules, but maybe how to manipulate them a little bit. I didn't think it was actually that bad, but on further inspection, you know, I can't defend that. If he's found guilty of that, I can't defend that. But just on what I've seen, on what he said, I actually didn't think it was that bad, Mels.
No, well, obviously you've worked under him. You sound like he made a decent impression on you. I was optimistic that he was somebody who could have a bit of a go at the England players and say, listen, this is how it needs to be. And that was the difference, perhaps, I thought, him coming in as being the England boss. But for you, what was it like to work under?
I thought he was a great manager. His preparation was second to none. And I think what he brought to the party was, I think he knew his weaknesses. And in a manager, that's a skill in itself. That's a strength in knowing your weaknesses and knowing where you need to improve. And on the back of that, he would bring in the staff that was there to improve the team and also improve him as a manager. He was fantastic to work for. He was a good man manager. He would praise you when you needed to be praised. He would have a go at you when you needed to be have it, when you needed that little kick up the backside. But on the whole, I thought he was a.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Fantastic manager, and we had a great season. I mean, I was only there 6 months. But we had a great finish to the season. We ended up qualifying for Europe. That was at a time when we had the likes of Nicholas Anelka and even Campo there at Bolton. So it was a very successful period. But I think his record speaks for itself, Mills. I don't think he's been... I think he's only been relegated once, but brought them back up. And, you know, he knows how to win games. He's a big manager in terms of statistics. He uses them statistics to his advantage. And I really enjoyed my time with him. I can't speak highly enough. When he got the job, I was very optimistic that he was the type of manager that England needed, a no-nonsense manager, a guy who knows his own team. He won't be manipulated by the press. And, well, in hindsight, maybe that's the wrong statement for me to use. But I thought he would be perfect for England, you know. He's not bothered about how the team plays. He's more interested in results.
Let's forget about Big Sam, another manager in the headlines, Jurgen Klopp. Did you watch him Monday Night Football with Cara?
I did indeed. I thought he was fantastic.
Brilliant, isn't he? How impressive is he, do you think?
I think he's fantastic. You know, I like his honesty. It's quite refreshing in this day and age. I've played under a lot of managers. Big Sam, I exclude Big Sam in this as well. I played under a lot of managers that are full of bravado and also, you know, full of ego. And I don't think there's any bravado, any ego there with Jurgen Klopp. And also, there's no insecurity. He's a very confident guy. And he knows how he wants his team to play. And I think, on the whole, the way that he plays, his team plays on the front foot, you know, it's very, very effective in the Premier League today. And, you know, it's hard for the opposition to take advantage and try to score goals against this style of play.
He started impressively. Fantastic start to the season for Liverpool. He's got us all hoping what might be. Is he the man to bring the title back, do you think, to Liverpool?
I think it's... I seen Jurgen Klopp himself has avoided this question. He doesn't like talking about winning championships. He likes talking about doing things right and winning games, and then that in turn will lead on to success. And I think that is his philosophy. I think if you ask me, I'd like to think that this squad is capable and talented enough to win the Premier League. I think that the test will be when they play the big teams and how they do, the teams in and around them. That's where the test's going to be. It's difficult to say. It's early days. I'd like to have seen a couple more signings, but I know his philosophy on that. He likes to work with what he's got. But I think some of the positions that we've seen, it's glaringly obvious that you know, we could do with some replacements or some strengthening in that area. I'm not saying go and break the bank for people, but I'm just saying bring people in who can be a lot more consistent than the guys that are there.
Well, the squad's looking fresh at the moment. Obviously, there's a lot of games last season, Europa League action, none of that this season. You think that freshness will really help Liverpool?
Definitely going to be a benefit, isn't it? They can concentrate on the league. They've got the minimum requirement this year has got to be top four. It's got to be Champions League football for Liverpool next season. But, you know, even though Jurgen Klopp avoids talking about winning the championship, and they might not be good enough to win the championship, but what I like about Jose Mourinho is his first thought is to change the belief of people. I mean, Man United are a million miles away from winning the Premier League, but all I hear from Jose Mourinho's mouth is, we want to win the league. We want to win the league. It's not just top four. It's we want to win the league. And I think some of the players might even buy into that. And if they finish a little bit short, they might finish in second, third or fourth. That's what I'd like us to be. I'd like us to be aiming to win the league. Why not? Leicester did it last year.
If United are thinking they can win the league, then we definitely can win the league. Tomo, are you a Snapchatter?
Am I what?
A Snapchatter. You mentioned their Instagram.
No, I'm not a Snapchatter, though. I'm an Instagrammer and Twitter.
Did you see what Saka was Snapchatting in the early hours the other day whilst the team were flying? He's got to pick his moments a little bit better.
Definitely. I think if he's got a gripe with the manager, you don't put it on social media. You just go and confront the manager. You go and talk to the club about it. And if you're not happy with what the manager says, then maybe you go and speak to the chief exec or the owners. You do it that way. But you don't start airing your grievances on social media. I can understand it's a powerful tool, obviously, in the modern game. But you've got to pick your moments, haven't you? He's got to be better than that. I think I expect better of him than that. But, you know, I think sometimes he is a little bit immature and he does make rash decisions. And that's probably what cost him his PSG career, in all fairness.
He's so well-liked at Liverpool, certainly with supporters. And you're thinking, OK, you've let yourself down, please. Keep your head down. Just be quiet for a little bit and get on with it and try and work your way back in, whether it's the 23s or at training, whatever it is. And this sort of thing, you're thinking, well, how many more chances is he going to get to really have any kind of Liverpool career left?
Well, you look at the way Jurgen Klopp has approached this, and I mean, he's really gone. He's gone in hard on him. He sent him home from the club's pre-season tour. He told him he's not going to play again until he's fully fit, or may not even play again this season. You know, he's took a real hard line with him. So there's a few things that Jurgen Klopp doesn't like about this lad. I'm sure he's a lovely lad and he seems very happy in and about the dressing room. But sometimes players like that, when things aren't going well, they can be very disruptive around the dressing room, especially if you've got a huge influence like Sacco has. And you can see that. He is very influential. You know, if he's knuckling down and doing things right and he's having a bad influence on the rest of the team just because he's not in the team, then until his attitude does change.
Mm. Well, another player who finds himself out of the team at the moment is Daniel Sturridge. Very strong bench, looking at the lineup against Hull at the weekend. But I feel as though Liverpool are a good moment, because about a year ago, 18 months ago, there was an over-reliance on Daniel Sturridge. If Daniel Sturridge doesn't play, where's the goals going to be? Now, all of a sudden, Liverpool, 5 goals. Sturridge came on, won the penalty, fair enough, against Hull. But there's not the over-reliance that we used to see with Daniel Sturridge not in the starting lineup. So that has to be a good thing.
No, I think the goals are chipping in from midfield, they're chipping in from up front. And, you know, even Milner, left back, he still nicked a couple of goals as well this season. You know, the goals are coming and... I like Daniel Sturridge. I think he's a fantastic, unbelievable goal scorer, but I just believe that he needs to be 100% fit to be able to get the best out of Daniel Sturridge. When he is 100% fit and when he's working so hard for the team, like the season when he was with Suarez, I thought his work rate was massively improved under Suarez, because if you're not working hard next to Suarez, you look like you're just being totally lazy. I think he drags everybody's work rate up. That's what we need. If Daniel Sturridge is going to play, his work rate needs to increase. He needs to get a little bit sharper. And there's nobody better in the Premier League in terms of slotting the ball away. He's a fantastic striker. But it's great to see that other people are chipping in. But also the chances that they're creating, even against Burnley, you know, the amount of possession that they had, and there was just short of a few runs in and behind the front men. And, you know, they take Daniel Sturridge out the game. And, you know, you get these runs, Firmino making runs, the midfielders making runs in behind. And all of a sudden, there's loads of chances.
Here's one for you, Tomo. Scoring plenty of goals, creating plenty of chances. Goals are plenty all around the team. Milner, joint top scorer at the moment. If you were to back one Liverpool player to be the top scorer at the end of the season, who would it be?
Oh, do you know what? You know, when we first signed Firmino, I didn't think he was up to the price tag, and I thought there was a lot more expectation on him and he wasn't delivering. Now, I actually think he's very dangerous. He works hard, he gets in dangerous situations, he uses the ball well, he brings other people into play. And you know what? I really like what he's doing. I really like his attitude, and I think Firmino could be a big player for Liverpool this season. If he got in and around 20 goals, I'd be so pleased. And I think he's capable of that.
Yeah, I'd definitely have to agree with you. So your money's on Firmino there. You've been back at the academy this week. You met up with former coach Dave Shannon, great coach, always enjoyed his sessions. Was he doing a bag of worms session by any chance?
A bag of worms, yeah. And what was the other one he used to say? Curry beef half and half. I mean, that was the session when we were going to do possession. Also, we were going to do five aside and then finish off with a bit of shooting at the end. So, yeah, what a coach he was and what a guy. I was just thinking about him then. You know, I remember going in when we was 11. Every session was fun. You know, every session was intense, but you always finish with a smile on your face and always wanting to do better. And
I think that's important. That's a skill in itself. So it was fantastic to go back and see him. But I think he deserves a lot of credit, Dave Shannon, for what he's done for the club and the people he's been involved in. And he's one of them. He never seeks the limelight. But I think sometimes, especially for this moment, he definitely deserves it.
Tell us, why did you go and see him?
Why did he go and see him? He's returned after a six-year absence from the club. I mean, I don't know if you remember, but he was let go in 2009 for a bit of a rejig with the youth development system under Rafa Benitez. And so he's been playing golf for 6 years. And I went there to talk about his handicap and his wife's handicap. And then he's been brought back to the club by Alex Inglethorpe and Steve Highway. And there's an opportunity there for him to go in and be in and around the lad again. And he's involved with the under-13s, and I think that's a fantastic opportunity for him, and it's only going to be a benefit for them kids.
Well, if you do want to check out David Tomo meeting up with his old coach, Dave Shannon, it's on LFC TV, and it's on The Academy show, which is well worth a watch there. Can you tell us a story? Because you weren't actually one of the Academy boys, were you? You were YTS boy.
It was School of Excellence when we first started. We used to go training there at the Vernon Sangster, and that was twice a week. That was once a week. And then when you're 13, 14, you move up to Melwood. But Dave Shannon's always been, he always seems to have been part of my setup, my coaching staff since I was 10. It's incredible when I look back, and I didn't even notice this until probably after I'd left. I thought he was there in every coaching session I ever had. So you can imagine, you know, the influence he's had on my career. I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for the likes of Cara or Michael Owen or even yourself, Mels. And some of the stories we were talking about is, even when I was playing for first team for the likes of Wigan or Bolton, some of the phrases that he used to say still ring true in my head. You know, we'd go one end and score a goal. And I'd be thinking, you're always vulnerable when you score a goal. And that's a Dave Shannon phrase. And these types of phrases used to ring true in my head. So that's how much of an influence this guy had on my career. And I'm absolutely delighted that he's returned to the club. I think it's a bit of a masterstroke because, I mean, he knows how to develop kids inside out. He's been doing it for such a long time, for almost 25 years. And I think it's a credit to Alex Inglethorpe to bring him back.
Absolutely spot on there with Alex Inglethorpe. I think a lot's happened at the academy. Steve Highway was absolutely superb. Hugh McCauley, Dave Shannon. But for Alex Inglethorpe, as a modern day coach, to be willing to tap into what was successful at Liverpool in the past is, I think it's a superb move. Really, it's what was refreshing to listen to you there saying, when you were under 13, you'd come in once a week. Now, something that we're seeing an awful lot at young players, 7, 8, 9-year-olds are training 2-3 times a week. It's all overload. It's too much pressure. Shanna's great coach. It's about fun. It's about enjoyment. It's about that hunger of wanting to improve. And I just worry a little bit about the academy these days, not so much at Liverpool, but in general of youth football, of that overload. And will they develop the way players used to in the past?
Listen, I understand what you're saying, but I think, when I was a kid, I mean, when it started off at 10, we're going over there once a week. But we were playing football every day anyway, Mel. You know, whether we were playing for school, whether we were playing for our local team, we're training here. I think it's a great idea what they're doing at the academy now. They have got like 8-year-olds coming in twice a week. Now, I think this is a good idea. The sessions are monitored. They're structured. They've got great coaches who are enthusiastic and want to do well for the kids. I think there's a benefit for these children to come in and train once, twice, maybe even 3 times a week, because they're going to be doing it anyway. They're going to be playing at school or playing wherever. What better place? I mean, you want to see the facilities up there now. They're absolutely incredible. And the coaching setup that they've got, and the likes of Dave Shannon, the likes of Steve Iway being in and around there, it is a bit of a masterstroke by Alex to bring them back in.
Yeah, but my concern is pressure. Pressure of a 7, 8, 9-year-old being around a place like a big club, Liverpool, and saying, yeah, I want to be in the first team, but around it too much. I'm thinking, absolutely great playing for your school team. You're around lads who aren't as good as you, so you're having to use different skill sets to be around those players, and then enjoy that time when you are with the elite, when you come into Liverpool and think, yeah, this is where I want to be. I want more of this, rather than 2-3 times a week. You can't play for your school team, and that's how it is. Now, this is a big concern
in youth football in general. I'm not just saying here at Liverpool, but that's certainly a big and wider issue. But we could talk all night on that. I want to hear your story. When you were at the first team at Melwood, you have a little falling out with whoever the manager was at that time, and you came down to the academy. Can you tell us that story?
Of course, yeah. I think, you know, I'd broken into the first team, and I'd been in and around the first team for a few months, and, you know, I played again. I thought I was pretty established in there. Maybe I thought I had my feet a little bit too firmly under the table. But, for one of the reserve games, I got into, it was an incident off the ball with a player called David Hopkins. And, I was thinking about it today. It was actually a moment of red mist. And I think at that time, I was still developing as a player. I was still developing as a man. My body was going through changes. I was very hormonal at the time. And I remember getting into a fight with him. And it did look like a terrible incident, to be honest with you. It did look like a thug off the street. But as I say, the red mist did come down. And Julio actually, he banished me for a two-week period. He thought it would be a good idea to go back to the youth team and train with the coaches down there and sort of teach me a lesson. And I went down, I trained with Dave Shannon, and we had 2 weeks down there. It was fun. It was intense, but it was fun. And I really enjoyed it. You know, it was probably good for me to get back down there. And it did teach me a lesson, because when I got back in the first team, you know, it was probably my best football period for Liverpool.
There you go. Everyone who sees David Hopkin now with those no teeth, it's because Tomo knocked him out in a resi game.
You know, these things happen, don't they, Mels?
Tomo, brilliant having you on again.
Ah, brilliant, Mels. Thanks very much, pal. Speak to you soon.
Let's hear a Swansea view now on the Five Times podcast. Delighted to say Lee Trundle joins us, the former Swansea man. Lee, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. You're okay?
Yeah, all good, thanks. Right. Are you still involved at Swansea? What's your current role?
Yeah, Dave, I'm club ambassador, so still do me stuff in the community, but also on my A licence as well, so I'm in with the coaching side. So although I haven't got a team, I'll go through the ages and go in and take sessions and take the forwards as well. So that's something that I'm really enjoying and something that I want to do in the future.
You're showing some of them young lads your skills, your goals. I hear that you've got the boots back out of the wardrobe. You're banging them in again.
Yes, started playing again. I've signed for Clonetley Town, which is about 15 minutes outside of Swansea. So it's good to have the boots back on and back scoring goals. You know, in my first four games, I've scored 9 goals, and in the last game, I got a hat trick in the last 3 minutes of injury time. So, you know, it started off well.
Is Guadalupe going to say, sack the ambassador role? We need you back in our first team.
That's what I've been knocking around the training ground a little bit more often since my goals, but still not had a call up.
How would you assess the start that Swansea have made this season?
I think it's been tough. You know, I think the run of games, what we've had recently, and then obviously Liverpool coming up as well, as I think it doesn't matter who is in charge, you know, them results probably still would have went the same way. I think the fans are a bit upset at the manner that we've been playing. You know, Swansea are known for a nice pass and attacking side, and this season we haven't done that. We've played within ourselves, we've sat back and not attacked teams, and you know, we haven't looked ourselves, and he's come under a bit of fire, and there's been talk about he could lose his job.
Yeah, I saw that. Obviously, American owners now, there's been a bit of speculation about the former USA head coach. He is under pressure, as you mentioned, but as an outsider, it seems so early on in the season, it seems a little bit harsh because of the great stuff he did at the back end of last season.
Yeah, it is. It is early on, and you know, the way his style is, the Italian style, where, you know, he just sets up to, if you look at his teams, try to set up not to get beaten. If you get a point, you know, at least you've got something out of the game. And I think Swansea fans over the years, with the managers that they've had, with Roberto, Brendan, Gary Monk, Laudrup, they've been used to attacking football and being entertained. And, you know, if I'm honest, we haven't been playing that football this season. And I think that's why the fans have shown that they're not happy this early on.
Not quite in the relegation places yet, but down there, hasn't been a great start to the season. What sort of season lies ahead, do you think, for Swansea?
No, it hasn't been, and you know, it doesn't matter how early it is, you don't want to be down there. And I think if we can take anything from it, Saturday's performance against Man City, for me, was probably one of our best ones of the season. You know, although we we got beat. We tried to attack them. We were a bit more brave on the ball, and we went out and tried to push for a goal. And I think that's when we're on the front foot, that's when we're at our best. And that's what we'll need to do against Liverpool, because the form that Liverpool are in now, you know, it's going to be a really tough ask to get anything out of the game.
Obviously, confidence seems a little bit fragile down there at Swansea. What can Liverpool expect with a visit on Saturday lunchtime?
Do you know what? I think these type of games are better for us, where you're having like the likes of Man City, the likes of Liverpool coming into town, and the pressure's off you a little bit. You know, I think we struggle more against where we've played Hull and teams that are going to be around us, where at Liverpool, you know, you can go out and play with that freedom, where if you get something out of the game, you know, it's a bonus. And I think it's the pressure's off us. But the way Liverpool are playing at the moment, and the form that they're in, they're not a side that we want to welcome to the Liberty, because we know that we're going to be in for a tough afternoon.
You mentioned home at the Liberty. Home form. We haven't won since beating Liverpool at the back end of last season in May. Quite surprised at that, because normally I'm thinking Swansea are usually quite strong at home, but yet to get that first win at home this season.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the problem why the fans are kicking up a fuss as well. You know, in this league, you've got to win your home games to, you know, to definitely stay in the league. To do anything else, you've got to win on the road as well. But that's the thing. We're used to, you know, picking points up at home. We always usually go out and perform, and it's something that we haven't done. And you know, we need to change it around faster. If you look at the game against Liverpool last season, you know, that was towards the end of the season. I think you had the European competition coming up, so you rested some key players. And on Saturday, you know, it's going to be a completely different game where we're going to be up against it. If we could get a result anywhere near what we did like last time, I think it would be a miracle, the form that we're in. But, you know, you never know. It's football and you just don't know what can happen on the day.
Yeah. Lee, we wish you all the best this season. Scoring plenty of goals, may end up in Swansea's first team in no time if you keep that up. Obviously, don't wish you all the best on Saturday lunchtime, though.
Thanks, Ella. Thank you.
That's all this week. My thanks to Ellie's in Greasby for having us. Hope you enjoyed it. Also, a huge thanks to former Reds Terry McDermott, David Thompson, Jamie Carragher and Swansea's Lee Trundle. Let's hope we maintain this superb run Saturday lunchtime at Swansea. Thanks for listening.